Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Ron's Electric Motors, the Progressive Liberal Party, YKRS Fashion Center, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Free National Movement, Marco's Pizza, Helena Financial Advisors Limited, and Bahamas Check Services.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are going to today, of course, talk some politics. We're also going to see if we can get some names of some frontline healthcare workers who deserve a little love and attention. I already got the names of two people. I only got about, I think it was, is there 10? I'll double check. Is there 10? Is the AC off again? I see. So just nothing. All right. So healthcare workers are on the front line. Now, listen, not your mummy or your gaudy because they work in healthcare. People on the front line who've been putting their lives on the line, who've been putting in work, who truly have sacrificed and put themselves after the well-being of others, all right? That's who I'm talking about, not just your sweetie, all right? I can't do it, and we only got several, so, you know, think carefully about it. If you guys work at, like, a department or something, you know somebody, you want to collectively, like, request it, let me know. Don't call me, don't message me and say, well, hook me up with one for my XYZ. Don't do that to me. I want healthcare workers who have been on the front lines working hard, and send me their name, send me their contact, and we'll go from there. All right. Now, a couple of things. We have the tally sheet printed in today's Nassau Guardian, so go pick up a copy. The tally sheet was created by Alexander Hanna, who gives us a lot of data and information about elections. It was created by Alexander Hanna because, for some inexplicable reason, the Parliamentary Registration Department will not publish anything related, anything official related to the election in the Nassau Guardian. I'm going to ask Lovato Duncanson about that when I see him Thursday night, because I'm going to be at the Parliamentary Registration Department making sure we get the returns right. Won't print anything in The Guardian. I bet you $100 it'll be in the Tribune tomorrow. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to look at some of the races and some of the matchups here in a little bit. Now, I also wanted to talk about some things that I do like. Okay. That have been put forward. I see the headlines, PM tells Abaconians, PLP will never deliver for you. Chester Cooper, the public is sick of menace. So, you know, it's like, menace said he has something else to announce. So I think he's supposed to announce something else tomorrow. But at the moment, yesterday seemed to just be about how hard they could hit one another. All right. Now, I'm going to talk about this latest thing by the FNM about no taxes for first-time homeowners. All right. And we're going to discuss it I personally think it's a good idea if you can get wrap your arms around it. I would have gone broader, but I guess you do want to start first home ownership. But then again, there are people who already own homes who would like to possibly build another house. I'm among them. Okay. So I do. I want to build a house. So a bigger house, right? Because my kids are getting bigger. And if you offered me no taxes, that would really give me some impetus to move forward with that. All right? But that's where we are. We're going to talk about what some people said about it. We're going to talk about how it could possibly work. All right? What is this? Coming to my phone. Oh, never mind. All right. So, what? It's my light bill? Why'd you send me my light bill twice, BPL? Why'd you send me my light bill from my mom's house twice, and you haven't sent me my light bill from my house? The light... Hey, Kirby, look at this. Anyway, never mind. Never mind. But yeah, I'm among those people who would like to look at constructing a new house. You know? And I'm not rich. And in fact, I'm going to talk to you about how this works in a minute. I'm not rich, but I want to be. But I can probably put it together if the taxes were off the table. Because I already own a home, so now I'm at a disadvantage. So that, I think it could be broader. They could help a lot more people. But I still think this is a good thing. I don't understand. Okay. And we're also going to look at the FNM's plan and see how in there they put in some stuff that can work. Now, I'll say this. And there may be a reason for this, but the FNM's plan, all right, has more detailed targeted things than the PLP's plan. The PLP's plan has targeted things. It just seems as though they're more broad-based things, all right, on the whole, whereas the FNM does target certain things. Now, the reason that might be the case is because the FNM is currently in power. So you could talk all you want, but if you're not, you don't know what's there. All right? You don't know what's there. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk to Philip Brave Davis about, to talk about the reality of how you can implement your plans if indeed you get in and things are nothing like you expect. Okay, we'll go to the phone line. That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? All right. Call us back. You can call me. It's all good. Says, hey, bro, I don't hear anyone speaking about the cost of gas. It's crazy. Gas just went down. Yeah. Gas just went down. At Rubis. Juan, can you explain to me why Minnis gets away with pretending like he hasn't been leader for the last 4 years? He's literally saying what he would do if he was voted in. Nothing has changed economically, so how is he going to do this now if he couldn't do it while in power? Well, Minnis says he wants a mandate moving forward. Now, in terms of what I would be talking about, were I Hubert Minnis, I would be talking about the things that I believe that we've successfully done and accomplished and how you're going to further those initiatives. Right? So he's trying to get people in homes. However, the problem is that the problem that may hamper that is that they're asking people to build their own homes. All right. They want to help provide land. They want to help provide tax concessions. But at the end of the day, they're saying, you go build your own home. And that's going to be a hurdle for a lot of people to become first-time homeowners because they really don't have the means to get that going. And I'm explaining to you after these calls how this kind of works. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good, bro. What's happening?
Man, I'm great. That's all I can say. All is well with you?
Yeah, man. Good.
Yeah, man. You know, this what you call the election and AKA the wacky season, so you know how that is.
Right.
But I'm trying to stay as sensible as I can throughout politics or anywhere. But I heard you allude to something about the FMs. I think that's in their manifesto. You're saying something about they're hitting the car or the hitting it on the bullseye about things they're talking about. But I really want to ask you.
I didn't say that. That's what you heard. I just said they have more specifics to me.
No, well, yeah, I might have added on piece. But what I'm saying to you, I'm asking you, what is the difference of this manifesto and this pre-election than the one gone before? I mean, what changed? Because I read their manifesto from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I just read it a couple of days ago. And Mr. McCartney, to be real with it, I'm not trying to, scour no political brownie points, but it really does not make no sense because it's a repeat of the same thing. The only thing they did was the taxes, basically, on the new homeowners. But even the new homeowners, born between me and you, let's be real now, at between the ages of 20, let's say 23, to 36, how many people in this country you think are working and making over 200 and but minimum wage was 210 a week?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
So how could you start up and sell me and thousands of other persons a dream for the young new homeowners? Because people right now barely have money to pay rent. Many times people call your talk show looking for assistance. So how could you speak about new homeowners? You know, I'm like Mr. Miller today. It's so sickening, Mr. McCarthy, as the election comes there, God spare life on Thursday. The only thing this man talking about is Brave Davis, the PLP. He ain't talking about the nurses. He ain't talking about nothing. He ain't talking about the people who walk off the job by the airport. He ain't talking about how the airport in shambles. It's like, hey, I pray to God that the PLP comes here and be some sort of relief to the people. Because I can tell you, another 5 years of this man, it'd be worse than COVID.
All right, my brother.
Have a good one, Vaughn.
I appreciate you. All right, so DeWitt makes the point, which is a salient point, which kind of ties into the point I was making, that there's a high level of unemployment, right? So people who would like, so let me explain to you how this works. All right. So if you're under 30 and you are not married, your chances of getting a mortgage through one of the commercial banks in this country are greatly diminished. All right. Now, I hear you. I keep hearing this. What does people say? Someone said this on Leavin Show. By the way, why is OB Roberts on Leavin Show today? And he's supposed to come on my show today, too. That was yesterday? Was that a replay? I just heard him. Oh, he's supposed to come on my show yesterday. Was he? No one told me that. Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay. Well, we could do it today. That's fine. Again, Obi Roberts isn't a candidate. If you are under the age of 30 and you are not married, unless you're making a good solid six figures, you're probably not going to get a home mortgage for anything over $250,000, all right? $250,000 is your safe space because that's where you get your stamp, VAT exemption, et cetera, okay? If you are under 30 and you're unmarried, if you have saved quite a bit of money, if you have been working consistently for at least 5 to 7 years, and you make a pretty good salary, then you may qualify through a commercial bank to get a loan, okay? And again, I know what you're going to say. We want to be owners. We don't want to be workers. We don't want to qualify for loans and go to commercial banks and all that stuff. Like, wake up and step into reality. That's how this has worked throughout the world for 100 years plus, right? They have banks. We go to banks. We borrow money. People pay off their homes. They work for a living. They try to have some comfortable retirement. That's what the vast majority of people will do. All you people want to be owners who can't even run your own lives. If you want to own something, no one's stopping you. But you're going to say the government needs to make you an owner of something. This is how this works, through banks, all right? People buy land, get mortgages, build on houses. I'm in reality here. I can't dream with you. If you're under 30, you're likely not going to qualify for a mortgage around $250,000 or over, okay? If you're unmarried. If you're married and you've been working consistently and you have good, solid jobs and you have a good, solid down payment, you'll be okay. That's the next hurdle. The next hurdle is a down payment, okay? When you purchase, when you go to look at a property, and there's no, and they may exempt taxes on these. Firstly, they're going to ask you for at least 5% down. Okay? So, and a lot of them will ask you for 10 to secure it to take the house off the market. That's $25,000. Okay? You're going to have to hire an attorney immediately, unless you are one, to handle the conveyance. All right? That's 2% of the mortgage. Okay? So that's another $5,000. Okay? So that's $30,000. Then the bank's going to want to make sure you have closing costs that could satisfy all the fees that the bank's at. That could run you up to another $6,000 to $10,000, and you're going to need insurance, which is another several thousand dollars. So the hurdles to home ownership are high, and it's smart of any government to try to get more people in homes because it's difficult for average people to now qualify for homes, all right? Again, Mortgage Corporation Bank, these things have worked time immemorial, but the prices have skyrocketed. It's gotten further and further away from people's grasp. We got a call? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Everything okay with you today?
So far, so good.
Okay. Home ownership and unemployment is the two biggest issues outside of COVID. And I pray the safety on everybody in the country in this election time season. Please be safe, everyone, and safe distance. And yes, stay away from each other. Keep your distance. Home ownership and unemployment, 80,000 unemployed Bahamians, okay, young and old. Who old enough? I have to suppose that 80,000 are persons for the working age. Then you have this large amount of Bahamians who lost their homes and were promised, like the leader, who's going to become the new prime minister, and I'm talking about Philip Brave Davis. Isaiah 55:4 is for him, all right? God gave us, in my humble opinion, over the years before this man became leader of that party, as a witness to a lot of poor people, he helped. Okay, a leader and a commander to the people. That's who Philip Brave Davis is.
Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Well, McCartney, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Doing great, man. Just linking the conversation just now that Amos submitted and especially DeWitt, I think there are two things that need to happen here. Firstly, regardless to which government is elected on September 16th, 2021, one of the first things that need to happen is that we need to look at, and I want someone to actually do a study on the baby boomers, those between the ages of 47 and 65, who are able to work, who are unemployed.
They're not looking. Baby boomers aren't 47, are they? No.
Oh, listen, that's the middle. That's the new middle class.
The baby boomers are the people who were born in like the 50s.
When I say baby boomers, okay, let's say the new middle class then.
Okay.
Okay, those who are still able to work.
Right.
Still, they're still avenues for them to find work. However, those avenues are filled by others who do not pay the taxes that we have to pay in this country. I am very much concerned that these persons in this age category still responsible for home mortgages, children in college and university, and if they can't find work to take care of their homes, then how is the economy going to be driven? Then on the flip side, you are employing their children. Everybody can't be entrepreneurs in this country. One, let's be realistic.
Correct.
A lot of persons have, yes, looking for gainful employment to take care of their families and their obligations and responsibilities. But they are being denied that right because the focus seems to be off them and now on the younger generation. I'm not saying do not include the younger, but let's find this balance. These people got to work one.
You know what, Jeff? You make such a great point, right? That's a great, great point. Because
and nobody is speaking to it, Juan. That is what's troubling me.
I'm going to speak to it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Juan.
All right. Here's the point, right, that Jeff is trying to make. And here's the point I make. And people go, oh, you boomer or whatever like this. I appreciate that the government speaks to young people and homeowners and all this stuff like that. But there are people who are in their 40s and 50s and even 60s who are contributing a lot to the economy and to government tax revenue, who get iced out of these concessions because there seems to be this pervasive myth that you're straight after you're 40 and that you don't need any sort of comfort or easement to generate that could help generate more economic activity because magically you cross that threshold and nobody's checking for you anymore. I know a lot of people who are in their 40s who don't own a home, who are working class people who would like to own homes. All right? That's why I'm saying you could get a lot more bang for your buck if you would spread it out. But I appreciate your speaking to the young people, and we're going to speak to that. But I'm trying to tell you, the people who are in older age brackets, they still have a lot they can do to generate economic activity as well, and you don't want to ice them out. All right? Now, I understand what the government's trying to do. They're trying to drive momentum, right? We'll to send you to school for free. We'll send you to UB for free. We'll send you to BTVI for free. Right? So that young people can have some sort of momentum. You're also going to have to create jobs, though. All right? You're also going to have to create an environment where there's economic growth and job creation. So that when the young people get the training and get the degrees, they can actually work here. All right? And they want to help these young people. Let's say they get jobs and they have the income, right? They want to help the young people say, well, we'll make lots cheaper for you, okay? If you don't want Carmichael Village or the one in Fox Hill, which is nice, then we're going to go ahead and offer you something out west, young professionals. We want them to drive the economy. Why? Because we want young professionals to get married, buy homes, have children, consume, and spend money until the day they die, right? And then their children can spend the money too. But you're going to have to figure out a way to target the young people and help them get off on a great start and give them momentum so that they can have stuff easier. But you're also going to have to figure out a way to ease the burden on those in the working class and the middle class who are finding it difficult to make ends meet as well, because it ain't all good, right? It says boomers is 1946 to 1964. Yeah, right. That's... How old would the youngest boomer be? I was born in 76. I'm 45. So the youngest boomer would be like 57? Yeah. We got a phone call? Let's go. Let me read this text for you. This says, thanks for breaking this down because the barriers to entry are plentiful. The government has gone about this the wrong way. They should offer a mix or lots and completed homes. The Prospect Ridge development should be a Venetian West kind of setup. Yeah, were I the government with the thing out west, I would build them and finish them and then come apply. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good, man. You know, I mean,
you know, I made an observation last year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in that, you know, everyone born after 1967 and 1973 is now middle age.
Right. And they're fine, right?
You know, but
no one needs to help them at all. That's how we have this conversation.
Yeah. No, but see, but you know what's on the table now, right? You know, has a question. You know, on it, right? You know, if somebody does not have the means to get things going, you know, how are they going to find a way to keep things going?
Correct.
You know, because I think you know it's like you know, I think a broader view of this economic spectrum, you know, has to take place. You know, especially we need to have more job creation and not just jobs. You know.
Yeah, they need no job creation.
Stuff
is here. I agree totally. All right, thanks so much. You know, so again, and I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm just saying, like, there's, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. I want you to listen carefully to me. Life gets more expensive, okay? If you're out there and you're in your teenage years, I'm going to give you some advice, okay? I know what you feel. The hormones are running rampant through your body. You got more energy than is needed to power a city. And you want to go, 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 go. And you want to see everything and do anything and soak up everything. I'm gonna help you with some advice. Because this gets more expensive as you go along your life's journey, my advice to you would be to right now consider the trajectory of your life. That seems like a lot to ask of someone so young. But consider right now what career field you may be interested in entering. You don't have to do it forever. Consider right now where you may want to live. Consider right now saving. Consider right now that if you want a loan from a bank, maybe you'll have a rich uncle and he'll die and leave you some money. But if you want to have a loan from a bank, you're going to have income security. And you're going to have to be able to prove it. If you are working in a cash-based business and you do not deposit your money in a bank, they're not going to give you a loan. This gets harder and more expensive as it goes along. When you get married and you have to start paying bills, buying house, repairing cars, appliances, X, Y, Z, it gets harder. When you have children, it's going to get twice as hard. When you have your first child, it'll get twice as hard. When you have your second child, it'll be five times as hard. So consider right now the trajectory of your life. I did not. I was playing catch up. I didn't get serious about my life till I was about 26. That's too late. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Hey, what's happening?
Yes, yeah, Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah, just let me just first say, let me debunk the fact that you say everybody can be entrepreneur. I think the world has changed now, and we can. But when you begin to look at entrepreneurship as more of a merchant class or something of that sort, when you begin to look at the various different economic models, we often talk about six of them in the Bahamas, the green economy, blue economy, orange economy, the knowledge economy, conceptual economy, the digital economy. There's tremendous opportunities in those, more so in the orange economy, when you go beyond the creative, and the knowledge economy, where so many people you see existing right now, and the combination of those or variation. So it is possible now for more so than less for people to actually move into this new dispensation of how the global economic choice is going to be producers and consumers. So you're either going to be a producer or consumer, and you can begin to produce in any of those models. Now, quickly to the housing. I think one of the greatest mistakes is that we preach that home ownership is for everyone. I think home ownership is for those undisciplined people who you have to charge them 9% per year in interest. So they won't find other means of growing their money or investing their money. And so it gives them a sense of retirement benefit or something they can leave for their generational individuals. But as we move more into the new taxation regime, also with income tax, I think it's going to be important that, you know, home ownership is almost a tax break in the U.S. for the first 7, 8, 9, 10 years. 100% of all the payments you make is tax deductible in a more progressive tax system. But when you look at the fact that for people who may not be able to afford a mortgage, if we teach them investments and saving and that same entrepreneurship, they can build as much wealth without the hassle of home ownership if we can actually get an affordable housing regime, not low-income housing, an actual affordable housing regime in the Bahamas that commensurate with the income that individuals make and what they have to shell out, this 30% or 40% average, depending on how you look at it, into the public domain. So I think when we talk about home ownership, just simply saying own a home, own a home, own a home, and stretch yourself is kind of like an empty promise for most.
Okay. I disagree. I think the vast majority of people have made investments in owning a home that have given them a great deal of security and has allowed them to make that investment over time, gain equity in the home, send their children off to school so that they can not have their kids starting over from scratch. That's what I think. We got to go to a break, and then we'll be back. We'll take a couple of calls.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
There is a better way forward, and it starts by leading with compassion.
PLP leader, Philip Brave Davis.
We're going to respect doctors and nurses, partnering with them to fix the health crisis.
Deputy leader, Chester Cooper.
The same way of doing things just won't work anymore.
We'll create new jobs and new industries, building an economy that works for everyone.
Join us,
and let's change our country together.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
Are you ready for school?
Well, Marco's Pizza is here to help. Get ready for the new school year with our back to school special. With our quality key ingredients, enjoy a steamy mouth-watering extra large one topping pizza. One center square or a 1 liter cook product for just $18. Kick off the semester the primo way. Perfect for family. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. 02-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Nassau, rolling red. Drive-in rally is this Wednesday, September 15th at the Carnival site, QE Sports Center. 6 to 8 p.m. Rolling red, live entertainment featuring KB, Christian Massive, Bahamian Trey, Sydney, Novi, Nehemiah Hill, and DJ Time. Remember to stay in your car, on top of your car, or truck.
Can't make it?
Then watch us live on any FNM social media site, Guardian Radio, or the rebroadcast over ZNS TV and Radio Network. Our news, this TV, 8 to 10 p.m. All COVID safety protocols will be observed. Let's roll red.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Let me read some of these texts. I didn't get to the texts. It says, Dear Mr. Dwight Strawn, please extend Levin Miller's time. He's the best on your station by far. Levin is the best? You don't rate me to send this text? This says, Juan, FNM, 22 seats, PLP set. This says, good afternoon. Oh, these are some recommendations. All right, cool. Says, you all do realize the last election, the Guardian printed everything? It's a shared thing. That's a lie. You don't know what you're talking about. That is a stone cold lie. Good evening, Juan. The Ministry of Housing had a housing program in place for decades, but this government decided to abolish it. His version seems to be selective and wouldn't come close to addressing the housing crisis in the Bahamas. It says, hello, sir. I'm thinking the persons will disregard the curfew on election night, so the competent authority needs to make a statement about this before election day. Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to be the case, too. Juan, I'm noticing a trend. Anytime you speak a little positive of the FNM, the PLP chronic callers will call in and try to put you back in line. As I say, you can call. Don't expect me to disagree with you. Don't expect me to agree with you, right? Because a lot of people call and go, well, you know this, right? And you know, I don't. That's your assertion. It also disadvantages persons who are married. Two single people will benefit from owning two properties, while if placed in the name of you and your spouse, you're not able to receive the exemption in the future. Yeah. It says, one, the FNM's plan for home ownership is a good start. Rome was not built in a day. I think it's a good start. I mean, I would have done a mix of building homes and selling completed homes, but, you know, you're a government, you pick your policy, and you roll with it. Good afternoon, Juan in the Bahamas. A change in government is one thing, but I want to see change in leadership in government that will be creative in causing opportunities to be had for all legitimate professions. Others speak to their professions, hence I speak to the dilemma that Bahamian musicians and entertainers are experiencing and being able to work and earn a living in a stabilized environment throughout the Bahamas. Some entities where musicians and entertainers can be employed, I believe, is stifling whatever opportunity now exists for the craft. This must be resolved. Okay. I see your calls, but I'm dealing with my texts right now. Because I got to give him a text or some love. And dozens of texts to go unread. Good afternoon, Juan in Bahamas. A change in government is one thing, but I want to see change to leadership in government that will be creative. Oh, I just read that. It says, hey, Juan, two words for you. Okay, boomer, LOL. It says, hey, Juan, housing projects run by government will always produce low-quality homes. Government officials have no experience with construction. They need to hire a reputable construction company to do the job. They can make an agreement and bring in materials duty and VAT-free. They can help purchase in bulk and have staging areas for contractors. Agreements will include for cost only. Build profit will be given in agreed crown land and future tax breaks for the contractor when he builds for private people. This will give incentive for quality. Hotels get tax breaks all the time. Let's help our own hardworking Bahamians. That's well thought out, I think. That sounds really good on first read. It says, hey, Juan, I know a number of people under 32 who are working to save money for a new home. They believe that this opportunity is great, and they aren't people that come from privilege. The policy that this administration is presenting appears to be coming from young people in UB and BTVI who are graduating and about to graduate and want to get homes and start families. Well, okay. As I explained to you, it will help, right? But I just explained to you the barriers for... Add to that they want you to be employed at least... about 7 years at the minimum in order to qualify for home ownership. So the barriers to entry are great, and I think that this can help, but I want to be clear that it's still difficult. Good day, Juan. Can you speak on the situation with persons who are still home on furlough from the hotels, please? I can't do that at the moment. This says, all the FNM candidates calculated their net worth wrong, and if they cannot get that right, How can we trust them to get the economy right? Okay. Great show as usual. I'm 44 and I don't get the spoiling of the ballot. Someone will chance getting COVID on that long, hot line to spoil the ballot. I don't get spoiling the ballot either, but if you want to spoil your ballot, knock yourself out. Juan, you are 100% correct. I'm in my early 40s and I'm just now barely able to afford my own home. The price of land alone is very discouraging. I was hoping prices would drop, but I realized that all that happens is land and homes will just be marketed to second homeowners, so no need to drop. And this is what I'm saying. You're leaving out a key, and I know you want to make your tax, right? But I'm going to help you create some jobs. I know you want your revenue. I'm going to help you create some jobs. There are people who want to build new homes. They already own a home, right? They got their, it's called a starter home, and they're willing to build another home. And what you're going to forego in stamp tax and VAT and all the appliances and construction materials and all this stuff, I believe you'll get back even more in job creation, in real property tax moving forward, so for on over a longer period of time. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. You with me?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Hello?
Yeah, oh, I'm just checking because it sounds like you were reading a lot of text. So
I was reading a lot of text.
You were talking to me. Okay. But nonetheless, good afternoon, Juan. Good show, by the way. I have several inputs I'd like to make regarding the Prime Minister's pronouncement surrounding this property program.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. First, I want to start by saying I don't understand that it's day one why any credence is being given to the failed FNM government's manifesto and their rally public pronouncements, because they have failed to deliver to help and hope and support and growth to the masses of Bahamians in this current term, which they are still serving. And so that's only an indication to demonstrate that all this amounts to their public pronouncements in their manifesto are a bunch of empty promises and a bunch of rally stage lies and cries, right? But we have proof to demonstrate otherwise. When we look at the fact that the government did not, as it relates to the program now, I'm dealing with the property program, The government did not develop financing arrangements nor agreements with multiple financial institutions to assist in ensuring the success of their property ownership program. This one, I believe, is the most foolish of all of the reasons that their program will not succeed, right? And why you can determine upfront that it is only geared to the more influential in the country and not the average, not certainly not the poor, and definitely not the middle class, right? When you look at the fact, one, if you recall, the chairman of the Clarence Bank Association, Mr. Brathwaite, do you remember his statement, one? After the prime minister lied to the Bahamian people about persons who participate in their Western gated community program will not have to come up with down payments. You remember what Mr. Brathwaite said, one?
Yeah, he dispelled that notion. Yeah.
Absolutely. He said it is not true. He said that the commercial banks or the Clearing Banks Association, which is the commercial banks in the country, will not be compromising their credit risk profiles, and they will be requiring down payments from anyone seeking housing financing from their institutions. And so that was another lie that was told by the prime minister, a straight-up lie.
And that's he repeated that lie. Come on. You know I'm not comfortable with that type of language.
Okay,
please.
Okay. Let me rephrase it one. My apologies. It was a mistruth told by the prime minister. He was misleading the Bahamian public then, months ago, and he's still misleading the Bahamian public last 2 or 3 days when he made the very same pronouncement from that rally stage. Right, Juan?
Okay. We got to wrap up here. Go ahead. I'll give you a couple. No, we're done? Okay. I want to say something, because here's the thing. And talking about down payments and all this, because let me tell you the key, right? And you're not going to. If you own your own home, right, and you are consistent with payment, and you build equity over time and grow your income, you can often facilitate loans to the bank without any additional down payment. All right? So you got to understand how the system works. And I like that we're now starting to have this conversation about teaching financial literacy from a very young age. Because I'm trying to help my son understand how money works now, you know? He's 7. Anyway, we got to go to the break. We'll be right back.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Here's a question. What kind of doctor fights with healthcare workers during a pandemic and fails to provide enough testing or to make it free? What kind of doctor invests millions on sidewalks instead of hospitals, then allows patients to be treated in tents during hurricane season? What kind of doctor calls a snap election during our country's worst COVID surge? The answer is pretty clear. The kind of doctor who can't fix a crisis and shouldn't be given 5 more years.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. Wait,
hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the revolution. The no air condition version here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're going to get back to our conversation about housing, etc. in a few minutes. But before we do, and we'll get to your texts and your phone calls, we're joined by O.B. Roberts, vice chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, to talk some issues that are going on today. Good afternoon, O.B. How's it going?
Hello?
Okay, I got you
yes,
now.
Sir. I'm your sir.
Okay, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, your
phone. Wait, where's O.B.?
Call it David, right? He talked about...
Hold on. I'll get back to you. I want Obi. You have Obi?
Good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, Obi. Good afternoon. So good to have you with us. How is it going out there?
Juan is very, very is very intense. Either way, everyone is eagerly anticipating Election Day on the 16th, which is just 2 days away. They want to cast their vote and to bring on a new day in this country right now, and it can't come fast enough for many of us in the country right now, Juan.
All right. Now, Obi, I'm going to be perfectly real with you, and I've been asking people this, right? You continue to claim that the last PLP administration was a smashing success, but the vast majority of the electorate disagreed with you. What do you consider has changed in the PLP, and what do they do different that doesn't yield the same result as 2017, or that would have people feel comfortable that it won't be the same thing as the last term?
Juan, I'll say this just for clarity to repeat to many persons. One of the biggest problems, in my opinion, I saw with the last PLP government is that our public relations was not the best. And we did not tell our story. We did not articulate the success of many of our great initiatives. And what happened with that, we allowed the opposition at that time to tell the story and in most likely in an unfavorable and dishonest view of what truly transpired. As we have known, when persons were sold, that something was afoot with where is the VAT money?
Right.
Okay. And many people bought into that as if someone actually went into the consolidated fund
and stole the VAT money,
put it in a bag and took it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, but yes, we had many great initiatives. We had sports tourism that was fantastic in terms of the IFFF, mm-hmm, the collegiate football game here. We had beach soccer tournament that was here. We actually have also a beach soccer facility that was built for that as well. We also had BAMSI, but persons were of the opinion that BAMSI was only a burnt building and not a 600-acre agriculture reform that we were doing to transform our country, to provide healthy food that is chemically free, mm-hmm, for us right now, and also to reduce the amount of food that we import in the country and purchase food from BAMSI. And then we also had the National Training Agency that we were able to help many young men and women between the ages of 16 and 25 who did not graduate from high school with a high school diploma, and they had an opportunity to further their careers and grab their path through various courses and gain certification, whether it's in hospitality, whether it's in IT services and everything like that. Many young Bahamians were given a second chance. But see, we did not do a good job in explaining that to the Bahamian people. And so persons normally grab onto what was negative and they deem it to be true. Now, I'm not saying that the Progressive Liberal Party last PMP government was perfect. I did not say that. I just said that many of our initiatives were not told in its entirety and enough to the Bahamian people for them to understand and appreciate what was accomplished.
Understood. So let's talk about moving forward with the PLP. I read the Blueprint for Change. It is expansive and it's targeted, but I don't know if there's the same level of specificity that we're seeing from the FNM, because, for instance, the FNM, in their plan, they're saying, we're going to expand Gladstone Road. We're going to change this particular act. We're going to change this act. Why do you think that is? Or explain the vision behind the plan so that we can understand the thrust that we're going in.
Well, in terms of the PLP's Blueprint for Change, one, you could clearly see, like, for instance, we want to assist as best as we can the small man who was impacted significantly under this government in terms of taxes. As we have noticed, the increase of value-added tax by 60%. We want to give those an opportunity. That's why we also acknowledge that we want to reduce VAT by 2% to 10% within the first year, to give persons a relief, and then also the persons who have the ability to spend money, to spend more in the community so we can get the money circulating throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And that is very, very, very crucial. You notice that since COVID began, we provided a COVID economic plan and also suggestions to the government to help ease the situation for Bahamians that right now during COVID were very fearful. They didn't know what their future would hold because this government wasn't open and consistent in terms of what was taking place with COVID. In particular, we was gonna offer free testing and also provide contact tracing for persons who were in quarantine who were first contacted COVID. And so we can monitor those persons and make sure that they're adhering to the safety protocols and everything else. These are some of the things that we wanted to touch on and highlight to the Bahamian people that we're willing to bring back. Also, we're going to continue further on our national development plan that we had completed prior to 2017, but did not fully enact it. And this FNM government kept it sitting on the shelf and collecting dust for 4.5 years, which is very disappointing. Regardless if it was a PLP plan or not, it was a national plan to help the Bahamian people and should have been used.
Okay. Now, let's look at some of the other points of your plan other than those parts, okay? Now, mm-hmm, I see there's a great deal of focus on the orange economy, the mm-hmm green economy, the cannabis industry, okay? Mm-hmm. And also, there's a great deal of focus on trying to help young people. Now, I note that you're proposing, and this is specific, I'll give you that, you're proposing a national jobs program mm-hmm subsidized where 16 to 25-year-olds can get a job for up to a year in private companies subsidized by the government. Now, we've mm-hmm seen something similar to that before, and it was roundly criticized by the PLP as being too costly when Ingram did it, something similar.
Well, if you notice that, that is also somewhat of a continuation will be had with the National Training Agency that we was implemented. Mm-hmm. If you notice, it's within the same age bracket of 16 to 25. And we wanted to continue that on to give our young people an opportunity. Because if you notice, when we travel around the country, we have a lot of young people who feel like they're not being given opportunities. Some want to own their own businesses. Some just want employment. All right. Some want educational opportunities that they want to go off to school to further continue their education and mm-hmm. whether they want to remain here or leave. But we want to give the young people an opportunity to be a part of the development of our country, one. Because okay. that's what they've been screaming of. As we have traveled through Nassau and throughout the archipelago, that is some of the concerns that young people feel, that they're not being engaged or involved in the country going forward. There seems to be a small select few of individuals who are benefiting from the country.
Now, I note that your plan also calls for the exploration of a National Youth Service, National Environmental mm-hmm. Corps. Now, when Penland had suggested the National Youth Service, there was a big uproar. That might have been a mistake, considering yeah. where we are. But what does that look like?
Well, Juan, you're correct. Some almost 40 years ago, the Free National Movement then said that Penland was trying to build his own army. And that was something that they had strongly opposed way back then. Right now, it is truly needed. We want to find something to get our young people into and get them off the streets and rather than being idle. You're seeing that crime is still continuing, whether it's COVID or not. We've seen some of the senseless murders that are still continuing amongst our young people. This is some of the initiatives that hoped that we could basically reduce the level of crime in our country and give some of our young people, get them involved with something positive, and rather than being idle right now on the streets right now and leaving the streets to them. And sometimes their fate is decided on the street.
Understood. Now, there's a lot going on with the public service unions at the moment. The nurses union had issues, the doctors union, the doctors associations, the workers at airports and family islands right now are calling in sick mm-hmm. to work. How do you fix this? How do you harmonize it? Particularly given the fact that their issues are money issues. And that is the greatest challenge that the government is now facing, is mm-hmm. finding money. No matter what they're telling you, I know that it's a challenge.
Well, Juan, if you remember, under the last PLP government, and I'll remind you, the PLP was able to sign almost 100% of the industrial agreements before we left office, other than I think it was immigration, I think. The Minister of Labor at the time was Shane Gibson, who did a very good job. You could take a look at it, and I know I'm correct. We signed many industrial agreements before we left office, and we were always been union friendly, unlike this government that has been not union friendly. And then what the unions are looking at primarily is they have contracts being signed by this and that, but not monies being allocated to them that they already earned and agreed to be receiving. So they figure that the government has not been genuine to their word and honor their word in paying them what was duly owed to them and what they've worked for.
Gotcha.
And so we know that it's going to be a major task, but the PLP has always been union friendly. And we've always had a great relationship with the various unions. It may be contentious, but at the end of the day, we come together and resolve it. And like I said, the former PLP government under Shane Gibson and Perry Christie and Brave Davis, we signed many union agreements before we left office and did a very good job with that.
Yeah, you guys just signed a memorandum of understanding.
Yes, recently.
With the TUC and the NCTUB. I imagine if you do the things within that, they'd be happy, but who knows, right? Because different things always arise. Let me ask you about this banking initiative that the Progressive Liberal Party wants to do. Firstly, the PLP, or what stands out to me, is that the PLP says they're going to encourage the central bank to grant commercial licenses to Bahamians / groups of Bahamians, committed to Bahamianizing the sector with a view to empowerment. We're also committed to finding solutions for the unbanked family islands. Now that, you're saying you're going to encourage the central bank, but unless you find Bahamians who are capitalized and who go through the rigorous process of making sure that all the KYC and all the other vetting and Securities Commission, it's going to be difficult to get that. Are you confident that you can get this going, A? And B, what do you feel about these groups being able to have correspondent banking relationships with the major banks in the U.S.? Because the big banks in the U.S. are having issues with even the Canadian banks here now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Juan, it's going to be a challenge, but we are up to it. And also, Juan, I'll say this to you, in terms of what is presented in our Blueprint for Change, we, by our advisors, did our research and understood in terms of these are some of the initiatives that can help many of our citizens in the country. And you also mentioned the family islands, because that is a concern that we have noticed over the past 5-6 years, many of the Canadian banks have been closing in the family islands. Mm-hmm. And it's been a challenge for many of the residents of those islands to be commuting from one part of the island to the other just to either deposit, withdraw, or conduct any type of business transaction. And it's been proven to be very frustrating. I'll speak, for instance, an example in Abaco. You have some persons who don't have banks in the Keys. They have to travel 2 miles to Abaco. Now we understand that Abaco just sustained major damage from Dorian 2 years ago. But now what are you going to do and try to make banking easier for those in the family islands? Because they feel disenfranchised. They feel very discouraged with that. And so we're looking at these are part of some of the plans that we have suggested and implemented, how we can make it easy for not just Abaco. I'm just identifying and using Abaco as one example of the problems that family islanders experience. And us in New Providence, even though we are so Nassau-centric, don't understand that these are major problems that exist in the family islands that ought to be adjusted and to help them and make it easy for them in the family islands.
Gotcha. Now, I want to ask you before we go about another big issue, which is the recovery and the rebuilding from Hurricane Dorian. There's a ton of work left to do. There's strained financial resources in the world. The conditions are worse than they were before. We're 2 years out, so the global memory of the horror of Dorian has probably faded quite a bit, particularly with the pandemic. And therefore, it's going to be harder to get donations and get financing for the rebuilding. How do you envision that moving forward?
Well, one, to be honest, I mean, this is something that we got to make life easy for the persons in Grand Bahama and Abaco. And speaking to many of the persons in Abaco, and Abaco has a very strong economy. As a matter of fact, it was the second strongest economy outside of New Providence, or the largest outside of New Providence. Many of the Abaconians felt that this government made it difficult for them, who had the means to quickly recover what they have lost or rebuild what they lost in Hurricane Dorian. They figured that their hands were tied. They couldn't bring in building materials and other stuff in that regard. And then you have other persons in Abaco who didn't feel that they got any assistance from the government, but from NGOs who were so gracious to help many people to rebuild their lives down there. For us, for the Progressive Liberal Party right now, in our research, if you notice, we suggested to the government to make Abaco and Grand Bahama, if you call through our leader, Philip Brave Davis, and our deputy, Chester Cooper, one thing was to make those two areas VAT-free, tax-free, so we can make it easy for these persons to rebuild and lessen the financial stress on them. We have to be creative in our ways of restoring those two communities that were so devastated by Dorian 2 years ago. We have to be creative. And we have to make it easy for them. If persons want to come in and help, let them come in and provide assistance. And if persons have the means to get it done, don't handcuff them and make it difficult for them to recover on. And that was that was some of the things that I noticed when I was traveling in Abaco on a few occasions, that many people felt very, very annoyed that the government provided red tape for the Bahamians and red carpet treatment for the non-Bahamians who come into this country. And so we want to correct that and ease the burden and make it easier for Bahamians, particularly the ones who experience a hardship in Grand Bahama and Abaco down the way, to make life a lot easier for them. Because even though it's 2 years, we're 2 years out from Hurricane Dorian, it's still going to be quite some time for both Abaco and Grand Bahama to be completely rebuilt. since Hurricane Dorian. It's going to be some time because a lot of people are still devastated. And you also have the loss of life of many persons on both of those islands from Hurricane Dorian.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Obi, for joining us today. The campaign is almost concluded.
Yes, sir.
What's the final push for the PLP?
Yes, we are in the home stretch. One, I just want to encourage all Bahamians out there to listen to the PLP's virtual rallies, to our messaging from all of our great and talented candidates, our leader, Philip Ray Davis, as well as our deputy leader, Chester Cooper, in terms of us continuing to articulate our blueprint for change. Please listen in as we get closer to Thursday. Our message is still on point. And like, as you said, it's interesting that you articulated it so clearly. Our plan is very definitive. It hits different points. And this is something that we've been preparing for the last 3 years. Sadly, the Free National Movement has seen that when they called the snap election, they weren't prepared for anything. And so we are not surprised at what they threw out to the Bahamian people. And then some of the suggestions, as you hear Dr. Minnis, and he made what was very sad, and I'll speak about Abaco. He mentioned that the PLP will not deliver for Abaco. And I want to remind Dr. Minnis and others out there that it was the PLP who brought Baker's Bay and Winding Bay to Abaco. So his comments were very irresponsible and misleading. He asked, and instead of trying to demonize the PLP, why don't he campaign on his track record, what he's done over the last 4.5 years, and which we all know has been very little, that he could basically tout about and beat his chest about and speak proudly about. And
right.
that's why, Warren, campaign on your record. Well, sadly for the Free National Movement government, their last 2 days, people are going to be very happy when they go to the polls to vote them out and vote in a new day. And it'll soon be a new day by brave and dynamic leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party, sir.
All right. Thanks, OB. You have a great day and be safe out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Warren. And I encourage you and all Bahamians to please be safe despite us campaigning to win this government and coming on September 16th. We are still in the midst of a pandemic. Please, everyone, practice your safety protocols, wear your mask, sanitize your hands, social distancing, please. By the sound of my voice, please exercise that right now. We're still having people dying from COVID. I just wanted to also send a condolence out to a good friend of mine, Ms. Shelley Sweeten, who unfortunately lost her husband yesterday, I understood, to also COVID.
Oh, wow.
And then another friend of mine, Mr. Flowers, who owns a friendly pharmacy. He also died from COVID as well. And so we're losing a lot of people to COVID, and I just hope people take it seriously and practice the safety protocols that has been constantly echoed since COVID has impacted us over the last 18 months.
All right, take care. And
thank you, sir, and you too.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back on the other side of it. Stay tuned.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
Here's a question. What kind of doctor fights with healthcare workers during a pandemic and fails to provide enough testing or to make it free? What kind of doctor invests millions on sidewalks instead of hospitals, then allows patients to be treated in tents during hurricane season? What kind of doctor calls a snap election during our country's worst COVID surge? The answer is pretty clear. The kind of doctor who can't fix a crisis and shouldn't be given 5 more years.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP. If you think you can't afford to dress to impress or replace those utensils or maybe even upgrade your household appliances, then you don't know YCare's Fashion Center. With three locations to serve you, YCare's Fashion Center features the things you need or want, all at a price that you can afford. Open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., YCare's Fashion Center also has the island's largest jean collection. Put the fun back in shopping and visit your favorite YCare's location today, where you can afford to look good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Wal McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay, let's deal with some text messages. We can get back to talking about what we were talking about before the break. And so we talked about the FNM's housing initiatives and their approach to housing. To get, I would be remiss if I said that they weren't trying for other age and income brackets as well. I spoke about the Carmichael Village thing. These are good opportunities. If you can get a lot, I explained to you how hard this is, right? There's limited land that the government has, but If you can get some of this, get some of this. If you can go in a nice subdivision and get yourself a nice starter home for $15,000 for a lot, and then you can build within 2 years, that's take advantage, particularly if you're going to now have no taxes, all right? Because you probably won't be building a house over $300,000 if you're just starting up, right? So I'm not going to say they haven't looked at it for others as well, but this is geared toward first-time homeowners, which is, you know, again, I think that you'd get more bang for your buck. It's a good thing. I support it, all right, once it's done properly. But I think you get more bang for your buck if you just open it up and say, if you're doing new home construction up to $300,000, VAT-free, right? It says, Juan, it looks like Obi deal to come on the show is that he'll come with one stipulation. He'll get no question from callers and texters. Texters, boy, I tell you, these politicians. That wasn't him. That's me. He paid to come talk to me. So I talked to him. Okay? Okay. It says, one, this administration gave tax breaks and concessions to the tune of over $260 million to allow them to rebuild. Are you talking about Abaco and Grandmama? It says, let O.B. Roberts know every day is a new day. All right, I want to talk about, I'm trying to get back to our text with what we were talking about in our conversation. I see a lot of texts about Obi. I can't do nothing about that at the moment. Okay. I'm trying to get to it. There's a lot of raw politics. I feel you. It's political season. I get it, right? But I'm trying to do something that's in more instructive here by launch padding from what the FNM said they want to do. It says, you're correct. Many persons, middle class, who are working and contributing heavily to the consolidated fund are being squeezed out of concessions. The mindset of the people of give, 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 but no effort to improve, mediocrity, and or the drive to educate and improve oneself on their part is the order of the day. The entitlement atmosphere in this day and age is sad. Work on your part as an individual. Effort and planning is a necessity in this life. Government can provide the opportunities, but it requires participation by the citizens. And he's correct. You're right. You're going to have to participate. Okay? You can't sit down and wait for the government to provide opportunity for you and housing for you, because ultimately you are responsible for your well-being. You're responsible for your forward movement in the world. So you can't stand still while you're waiting for somebody else to deal with you. And that's why I'm trying to break down for you how this works. You want it to be one way, I'm certain. You want there to be no barriers for entry. I'm good for it. I'll pay the mortgage. Da, da, da. The banks have had over $5 billion in bad mortgages, okay, in 2010, I believe, a couple years after the housing crisis. They've lost hundreds of millions of dollars. They have homes they've owned for years. They don't want to be in the home ownership business that they can't offload. So don't get shocked when banks ask you for certain things up front and to service certain things. The good part about this is interest rates are now extremely low, right? So I believe the going commercial rate is 4.25%, which is very solid. So you can take advantage, but you have to be prepared, all right? So the homes for young professionals, it's 300 lots, 1,500 people applied. So again, you have to still start thinking about how you're going to plan your life. All right? Figure out a plan. Execute it. It says the new owner's pledge is for everyone. No, I know it's for all first-time homeowners. I'm talking about people who already own a home, would like to build another home. That's who I'm talking about. There are those people who are out there, such as myself. However, the taxes are a barrier to doing that. All right? But I'm positioned well enough to, if I wanted to do that, and that would create many jobs. But I'm locked out of it because I already own a home. That's what I'm saying. All right. We'll go to the phone line real quick. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. McKinney, not McKinney, partner.
No problem.
Mr. McCartney. Yes, sir. You know, everybody's not going to be able to afford a home. You know, so.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and the FNM, both the FNM and the PLP, has been catering to those who can afford to build a home. And just as built with the young professionals, should say, should show you. You know, even the lots in Carmichael Road, you know, can assist many poor people in this country. You know, and I was looking for you to ask your guest just now mm-hmm. about the PLP's housing initiative, mm-hmm. Roberts, you know, but apparently he dug that. He refused to address it on his own.
Okay.
You see. But the PLP and the FNM, they're the same. Their plans are basically the same. You know, the plans on taxation are basically the same. You know, land tax, property tax, that has always been there. And the PLP, I mean, the FNM, they would hold it. And you know, so in terms of taxation, the PLP isn't doing nothing different. You know, they just are maintaining the same. But I feel like the PLP is going to win the election. You know, I wish it would be someone else. I mean, I you know, and that's wishful thinking. That's not logical, because the third parties, they couldn't win because they're split, right? And you know, it's just what it is. And the PLP will win, but we just can hope that they do right by us. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, I can't call them the winner, but if that's what you think, okay. It says, hey, Juan, the new policy offer is good, but this could have been done from the jump of their administration. The tax break had nothing to do with Dorian and a pandemic. I'm irritated that they're doing this now. I'll take it, but I see what they're doing. Well, this is... I don't know. I don't know why anyone would have any sense of, like, surprise that they're doing this, all right, at this point. Like, I would prefer it to be done, like, you lay it out in your manifesto and you say, here's what we're going to do next term, X, Y, Z. But this traditionally happens. People announce things right before the election. Remember, Christie, those announced free electricity? last lap, right? That was their big get. Free electricity. Who doesn't like free? We're Bahamian. We like free. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Lovely day to Doc. This is Doc in the West, along with you, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm ready, man. Thank God. Juan, what we talked about, somebody went in to the consolidated fund and took some money, right? Somebody.
He said that people were acting like that happened.
Acting like it happened?
Right, yeah. It didn't actually happen.
Oh, it didn't happen. Oh,
no,
okay.
Nobody went to the Consolidated Fund and took out money. The issue with the PLP and the VAT money was they were not being transparent about what it was used for. And then when they finally talked about what it was used for, it was different from what they said it was going to be used for.
Yeah.
So that was the problem with the PLP and the VAT
money. All of them need to tie up something. This country are being run too slack. And if they run in the country slack, automatically the people on the street are going to be doing foolishness.
Yep.
And nothing is going to be said or done about it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, what's up, Brother McCartney?
I'm here, man. How's it going?
Look here. I want to share something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I listen to your talk show every day. Right?
Great, thanks.
My girlfriend is rolling me out for you. Yeah. I mean, I must be in love with you.
Oh, Jesus, no. Tell her that she ain't got to worry about that.
Hey, right. She know that, but you know she's dead off.
Right.
You saw I'd go after them go.
Ah.
But listen, I listened to the same fella, not Bremen, the one before Bremen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he come on the talk show, he be talking with the PLP, just the PLP guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he know the governing power is the FNM, right?
Correct.
And then you need to help me with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why people always say that the PLP or the FNM always trying to win the election? And them other parties trying to win the election, though.
Of course, that's what they exist to do.
All them trying to win, right? All them have their plans and their strategies and their promises to give you, too, right?
Correct.
So why do they have a problem with the PLP and the FNM?
I think that they think that it's time. I think a lot of people think it's time to give someone else a try. But to my mind, that doesn't mean just give anyone else a try. Right? So.
But what?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, right? If you know that somebody ain't ready to build a hoax, and you know that there's somebody what you know is ready to build a hoax, what mm-hmm. you gonna
do? You do what is the most impactful thing first. Right.
You wait for the ones which you know can handle the job, right?
Right. So there's a thrust to say, yes, we want to lift people out of poverty. Yes, we want to get people to where they're earning enough money to build their own home and own their own home. But right now, what we're trying to do is unlock this thing that's causing people to not build their homes. And so we believe taking the taxes off that will spur people to build more homes. And I think it's a good policy. It's just got to be monitored properly.
Yeah, Well, bro, I love you. Keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, my brother. Tell your girl I said, you know, don't worry. It's all going to be okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. Oh, Tarpon Bay, man.
They tell me it's fine still. So they got water.
Tarpon Bay is okay, man.
That's what they tell me. My cousin, shout out to Tarpon Bay. They're down there listening now.
Yeah, been there before. Mm-hmm. We supposed to be family anyway. I ain't going that deep. We family anyway.
Oh, okay.
Hey, but one. I think the PLD win, man. I see you saw by University of Bahamas, like on the side where extra value is, the entry is, or the exit.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
The place is I'm talking about is totally posted, must be about almost 20 feet up, right? So I pulled in the extra value a while ago, and I saw all these posters, right? And I was standing, and it's like, I said, guys want on a ladder and putting up more posters, right? And I said, why are putting up more posters, man? The PLP done went, man. The fella nearly dropped off the ladder. It's the FNM. I said, boy, even the people who put in the posters and think they didn't know what's happening. When Mr. Minister had his driving rally, everybody tongue all tied up and thing, and it's like it's like the spirit talking. The body saying one thing and the spirit saying a totally different thing. And it's all about the PLP.
I got you.
I don't know what's going on, boy, but PLP got this one.
Okay.
And all them shaking in their boots.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey. That's good. Y'all can put your prognostications out there. I don't got a problem with it. We got another break? All right, let's do it.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Nassau Rolling Red! Drive-in rally is this Wednesday, September 15th, at the Carnival Site, QE Sports Center, 6 to 8 p.m. Rolling Red, live entertainment featuring KB, Christian Massive, Bahamian Trey, Sydney, Novi, Nehemiah Hill, and DJ Tang. Remember to stay in your car, on top of your car, or truck.
Can't make it?
Then watch us live on any FNM social media site, Guardian Radio, all the rebroadcasts over ZNS TV, and Radio Network, Our News, and Eyewitness TV, 8 to 10 p.m. All COVID safety protocols will be observed. Let's Roll Red!
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9. This person makes a good point. This is why people want you to attack a paying guest, though. He's here to put his party's platform forward. Exactly. They paid to come on here and just speak about their platform and ask them questions about it. You be the judge of whether or not he answered it satisfactorily. Says, good afternoon, Juan. I agree with you. There's nothing in the plan for middle-aged settle workers who've already established a pattern of saving and paying bills, but still need an opportunity to own a home. And here's the thing, right? And that's why I mentioned this. I'm not saying, well, the FNM and the PLP aren't putting in plans, even though you're right, they're not focused on that particular area in terms of intense actual focus to say, here's a policy to actually drive something with them. But we seem to be having a national conversation that omits people who are going through much deeper financial challenges than a lot of young people who have much greater commitments. And that may be because I'm getting older, but I find that we're now seeing, like, I feel absented from these national conversations about development and moving forward. Like, I feel everyone thinks, oh, yeah, you guys are okay. And that's not the case. So I want to shift the national conversation to include people in my age bracket. All right, I'm not saying I want free stuff. I'm just saying we have burdens too that can be eased. That's for everybody to understand that. Let's go to the phone line real quick. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Warren McCartney. How you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Yeah. Government. I'm calling in response. Well, I was thinking about it before he called, but I'm calling in response to a caller a few callers ago. See, I think government, especially in New Providence, they try to move away from building these, like 3 dozen, 5 dozen, hundreds of homes, and just waiting for to put people in. Because I know some years ago, not too long, they had a bunch of houses there. I forget the area, but it was a whole subdivision of government low-cost houses.
They have a subdivision now that nobody's in.
Yeah, and the people want to break out all the windows and some of the doors and all this broken down. So what I'm saying, Mr. McCartney, I think government are moving away. You see, in response to what I call, you know, he's a frequent caller, but what I'm saying, he's talking a lot of sense, you know what I mean, most of the time. But I'm saying, I think government is moving away, and they should move away from that because you build those bunch of houses, and then they just become dilapidated. Mm-hmm. They people just go and break them up. And you see, what you got to look at and understand, I don't know, Mr. Jones had that topic the other day. I mean, months, I think it was early part of the year, Ben Jones' show, he was saying, not everybody will own a house. Not everybody, a lot of people don't save towards the house. And you were talking about that before the lunch break today, before news. You were saying you got to start off early and you put some aside, you know what I mean? But a lot of people don't do that. They go and have a good time all their life, and then when they reach one in the 40s, 45, 50, they're saying, oh, the government didn't provide them with a house. You got to make the effort to get the house yourself.
Yes, agreed. Thank you. And here's what I'll say. I can't take any more calls or anything. Here's what I'll say to you. I'll give you this piece of advice, right? And we'll talk about this more after the election, right? My advice to those young people out there who aren't able to benefit from that, the service lots, et cetera, my advice to you is this, right? And if the F&M wins, this is my advice. If the PLP wins, this is my advice. But certainly if the F&M wins, you would be able to facilitate this for yourself. For less money. My advice to you would be to save your money. Be consistently employed. It'll be good if you keep the same job for at least 5 years. Just have the same stream of income. All right? Save yourself a down payment. Get yourself a piece of property. All right? Now, you're going to have to hustle to make this happen. If you bout that action, you can make it happen. Buy yourself a piece of property. Okay? Your mortgage on that, depending on where you purchase the property, you're looking at about $1,100, okay? A month, maybe, because the interest rates on property sometimes are a little higher. Consistently pay your mortgage. Continue to save your money. And build your house yourself step by step, okay? So your first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get a survey, and you're going to have to get yourself an architect, right? You may or may not need an engineer. And you're going to have to get plans drawn up. And then you're going to have to submit those to the Ministry of Works. Now, that's a nightmare, but they claim they're going to digitize the system, so we'll see, right? So that'll run you probably about, depending on who you go through, up to $3,000, $1,500 to $3,000. That's your first step. When your plans are submitted and you got your approval in hand for the Ministry of Works, then you can go ahead and do what you need to do at your own pace without a heavy, heavy mortgage on you. And you may actually be able to get your mortgage lower than $1,100 a month because you're younger and you can term it out for a longer term. So my advice to you is to, yes, you want the government to do things, but barring that, you're still going to need somewhere to live. I still want you to own a home. I'm old school like that. Invest in property and build your home step by step. If you can invest in a multifamily lot, you build yourself a duplex, a triplex, a townhouse, right? You can have some income-generating property to pay that mortgage while you're living on the property, all right? We can't get into too much more today, but this is how you have to look at life. You have to look at life like, how do I move forward? Because here's what I've learned. Nobody is going to come do it for you. Right? You could have all the best friends and the most well-intentioned family in the world. They love you to pieces. But this is on you. Okay? It'd be great if your mom and dad were wealthy and had lots of stuff to give you and land to give you when you get married, you go build your property or a house to give you. But for the vast majority of people, that's not the case. And this is going to have to be on you. And waiting for somebody else to get it done is a recipe for disaster. Okay? It says, Juan, why did the rich uncle have to die? Can't the rich uncle just give him something and live? Maybe. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We're going to talk more national issues. Last day of the campaign tomorrow. We're going to see what the messaging is tonight. And we're going to move forward from there. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas. I did get some of your suggestions for the healthcare workers. I'm going to write them down. And I will contact these people if they qualify for the package. All right, you guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.